Did you know that the perfect snack exists that not only has the yum factor, because that's important, but also packs a real protein punch? I'm talking about Wonderful Pistachios, a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids. Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Now that's a snack you can feel really good about. It's hard for me to currently pick a fave because they have several flavors to choose from, including no salt and jalapeno lime options. But if I absolutely had to, I'd say I'm in my no shells, Wonderful Pistachios, sea salt and vinegar era. It's the ultimate snacking solution for when you need a quick, convenient, and tasty boost of pistachio goodness straight out of the bag. Whether you enjoy the ritual of cracking open each nut or you lean towards the ease of no shells, Wonderful Pistachios has something for everyone. It's time to elevate your snacking game with Wonderful Pistachios. Visit wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Listening to the Brown Girl Self-Care Podcast. My name is Bree, and I'm the host of the show, as well as the founder of Brown Girl Self-Care. Brown Girl Self-Care is a platform and space of intentional healing, rest, and joy for Black women. Let's go ahead and get into today's conversation. And I want to talk about depression. I want to talk about depression today, because obviously this is a pressing, I don't want to say experience, a pressing issue, not experience, within our community, but specifically since I'm speaking to Black women, that is what I want to address today. I am no stranger to depression. I've shared on the podcast several times over the years just about depression and what it was like for me and those kind of things, but I really do think that I could have this conversation more because it is so prevalent, it is so persistent and pervasive in our community. And I want to talk about just like how there's different types of depression, what are some possible resources, and even talk about some of the myths that we have specifically in our community. So if you have experienced depression, if you know someone that may possibly be experiencing depression, or you just want to hear more about this topic, then this conversation is definitely for you. And I do hope that as I talk about this, it creates a space just for us to continue to normalize these types of conversations within our community, in our circles, in our villages, etc. Because I do know that we've talked about this before, just about the importance of building community, right? Yes. And that it just, you know, just helps someone out there to not feel alone, embarrassed, guilty, ashamed, you know, those type of feelings. Just like sometimes when you know that you're not alone, it can just make a big difference. So I want to talk about that today. So two quick things. I don't know if that noise is going to pick up on the podcast, but in case you hear it, there's my neighbor is outside, or the little kids outside, he keeps yelling and screaming and that kind of thing. There really is no perfect time for me to record the podcast because there's always something going on. So I want to make sure I mention that in case it picks up. I don't know if it will. And what was the second thing? How did I forget that? As I look at myself on the camera, I'm not sure how this is going to go because I'm recording this for YouTube as well. So we'll see how that works. Plus, if you hear some crinkling of pages, it's because I am looking at my handy dandy notebook of notes because I don't want to miss anything that I necessarily wanted to say on this episode. So let's go ahead and get into it. So first of all, let's just talk about like, what is depression? As I mentioned before, yes, I did talk about this at least a few times on the Brown Girl Self-Care Podcast, but I'm always down to just continue to have this conversation. So if some of this is kind of like old to you, great. If it's new to you, great. We can all, you know, just again, be a part of this conversation. So I'm looking forward to being in this very sensitive space with you. So again, what is depression? So to simplify it, in my layman's terms, because, oh, and by the way, I do want to mention that this is just, it's just advice, it's just conversation, it's just an offering for you to explore this more as needed, as necessary. I am not a mental health, I'm not a therapist, I'm not a doctor or anything like that. So this is just my understanding of things and what I just want to kind of like bring to the table in regards to just this wider conversation, okay? If you are experiencing severe depression or feelings of suicide, of course, or things along those lines, by all means, please let someone know, okay? It's okay to raise your hand and say, you know, things are not okay for me at this moment, all right? So with that said, let's go ahead and get back into it. So again, what is depression? In my terms, and to simplify something that is by no means simple, right? Depression is not simple, but depression to me is when one experiences like persistent feelings of like sadness or low moods, or just like a general loss of interest or boredom, displeasure in your like the typical daily activities or life that used to just maybe spark some life or feelings of just, you know, happiness or a sense of well-being in you. And it's also longer than just like a week or two. I know that sometimes things can happen where just for like a week or so or a few days, just kind of like feeling out of it, or you're not necessarily feeling like yourself. This goes beyond that. So it's more than like a week or two, where you're just having these persistent feelings of being down or having low moods or just different things like that. Okay. So I wanted to make sure that I make that very clear. And here are just a few, because there are several different types of depression. I'm thinking back to when I experienced depression, which I believe I've experienced depression twice, at least two times in my life. And I think it was more so like a just like a general depression, or like I think they call it major depression disorder or something like that. But there's other types of depression as well. And so I want to kind of just give you a little bit of tidbit or insight on that. So the first one, and these are in no particular order, by the way, but the first one, I would say, of course, a lot of us know this one already. It's like seasonal, or like they call it SAD, seasonal affective disorder. And what that is typically from about, there's a period every year from about, I would say probably like fall to maybe the beginning of spring, where we're not really having as much depending on where you live, we're not really having as much access to like sunlight, or maybe you are indoors all the time during that period and you're just not really getting any sun. And we know that sun is like vitamin D, right? We need that sun. It's a vitamin for us. But again, it's usually around fall to winter. And so signs of that may be, or may include, just like low energy, of course, sadness, anxiety, isolation. Like you don't really want to do anything. You want to sleep a lot. And again, just like listless, or just not really having any pleasure in those typical day-to-day things that you maybe used to have, or just this general loss of any type of excitement or just goodwill or well-being about life. And again, that's very, very common, especially depending upon like where you live or things like that. So I know that that gets talked about a lot. Now we also have something that's called, of course, postpartum or postnatal depression. And I was gonna say, let me back up for a second. A lot of these types of depression, you're probably gonna hear me repeating a lot of the same kind of like symptoms or things like that. It's not that, it's because it's depression, you know what I mean? So sometimes it's going to have similar symptoms. Hopefully that makes sense. But my hope is that if I tell you kind of like some of the different types of depression, you might be able to put two and two together if you've been struggling or feeling some kind of way and you're thinking, well, it's not regular depression, so I'm not depressed. You know what I'm trying to say? Instead of discounting how you feel, my hope is that giving you a few different types of depression will help you to, if necessary, of course, maybe hone in on something that you might be experiencing, which again, hopefully will allow you to feel like, hey, I'm normal. This is something that needs to be looked at and not discounted just because it's not like quote unquote mainstream, I guess, depression, if that makes sense, for lack of better term. So, in all cases, obviously, again, since I'm not a therapist and I'm just wanting to maybe bring another part to the conversation of this as a whole, again, please, please, please raise your hand if you are experiencing some of this type of struggle. It there's no shame in it at all. There's no, at least not on my part. There is no shame to this. Okay. So where was I? I was talking about like postpartum depression. And we know that this is typically after a woman gives birth, they can experience this. But what I did learn that was interesting is that postpartum can actually start to begin maybe just a little bit before you give birth. So that was interesting to me. And even up to a year after you give birth, I thought that postpartum or postnatal depression was like, it would happen within a few weeks and then you would know, like, boom, this is what it is. You know what I mean? Because I've had a kid. I think that for me, it was just like, I just feel like I just had seasons of depression. So maybe I was already depressed when I had my kid. You know what I mean? So, you know, depression is different for everybody. I don't believe that there's like a one size fits all when it comes to this and this type of experience. So I did learn that postpartum depression, can occur even before you done had the baby. So that was interesting to me. But again, and this is kind of like, well, duh, you know what I mean? Because you got a whole newborn too, but like just exhaustion. Whew, exhaustion, fatigue, crying, low moods. You're just completely overwhelmed. You have despair and anxiety and mood swings, right? I feel like I had all those things, and then some, okay? So that's postpartum. Another one that you can possibly experience is bipolar depression. So that's an aspect of, bipolar disorder. So you're gonna have, again, the extreme moods, the sadness, the very low energy, the irritability, high suicide rates. I had to say that again. The lowest of the lows. And then like those feelings of emptiness, right? So I know that bipolar has, what is it? I know one is mania. What's the other one? Shoot, I can't remember what it's called, but it's kind of like that opposite of that high energy and like impulsivity. Am I saying that right? Being impulsive and things like that. So it's like, again, the lowest lows and just that kind of thing. So that is like just a quick glimpse into those three, and I have two more. Another one is, and I feel like with the onset of COVID and just the things that we've kind of like been experiencing, in the last few years, I think this one's probably very, I'll say quote unquote normal, okay? So that's situational depression. Situational depression can be triggered by like something that happens in your life. So for example, if you lose a loved one, if you are undergoing financial strain and you lose your job, or let's say a relationship ends, or noisy, like I've stressed many times on the podcast, noisy home environments I have a dog that's always barking near me, as well as neighbors that make a lot of noise. And I don't like a lot of noise depending on the situation. So yeah, shout out to those of you that can feel me on that. Also, for example, someone that has seen or witnessed or actually experienced some type of violence. Okay. So that's situational depression. And same things like isolation, fatigue, low energy, sadness, like pretty much similar types of feelings and things like that, like the ones that I've mentioned before. And then the last one is like premenstrual dysphoric disorder, or I believe that's PMDD, if I'm not mistaken. And that one is just like, as if PMS is a circus, right? Or as if PMS is like a walk in the park or a trip to Disneyland, because PMS is so fun. I hope that you hear the sarcasm in my voice as I say this. So as if PMS is not bad enough, okay? Let's be real. But premenstrual dysphoric, I hope I'm saying that right. Premenstrual dysphoric disorder or depression is like PMS on, I want to say like PMS on steroids. So it's just like severe PMS. So you're going to get the anger, the rage, the irritability, the exhaustion, the thoughts of suicide, right? The body, just the pain and things like that. So those are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different types of depression. And that doesn't include, that's not like even the whole list of different types of depression, but I tried to pull out a few to show you that there is a range, and that it's not just, you know, I'm doing air quotes, regular depression that I guess we kind of think of, generally speaking, when we think about someone being depressed. There's different types. And I don't know if I've said this before, but your depression may not look like someone else's depression and vice versa. There is no, as crazy as this sounds as I'm thinking about it, but there is no right or wrong way to do depression. You know what I'm saying? It can be very different. Depending on the person, your mileage is definitely going to vary. But my hope is that if you recognize something in there, again, or someone that you know, you live with, a sister friend, a sister, a mom, a partner, like whatever, coworker, like you can learn to make space for these different types of things that we go through as women, as Black women, as humans, Black women, human beings, right? So we talked about a few different types of depression. And I wanted to give you a few stats that I just found absolutely alarming when it comes just like our mental health. I mean, there are a lot of stats that I found alarming, to be honest, but I didn't want to make this podcast episode too long. But two stats that really, really jumped out to me. The first one is that there was a study done of girls. So specifically Black girls in grades like 9 through 12. So the 9th grade through the 12th grade. And these girls were 60% more likely to attempt suicide compared to like their peers. 60%. That is huge. Okay. That is huge. So even that alone, like, is a signal to me, or like a red flag, that I guess sometimes we think about mental health as something that, mental health or depression is something that kind of occurs in adulthood. And I'm sure that there are times that it does, obviously, but that was a red flag for me, or a reminder, I should say, that our girls, our children, as we know, like our girls, our children, they are experiencing a lot. They're experiencing a lot. And it doesn't necessarily just go away. So you, as an adult, obviously listening to the podcast, if you've experienced depression and you're just thinking, oh, this is out of the blue, it could be, obviously, but give yourself some grace in all situations, obviously, but allow yourself room to just think about the fact that this might have started before you really kind of became aware, if that makes sense, because 60% of Black girls in the study, that's a lot. That's a hell of a lot. And if our girls are not getting or able to receive or are afraid to receive the care that they deserve for whatever conversation or for whatever reason, it doesn't just go away. It just continues to evolve and to expand, right? So our mental health, it's serious business. The other stat that I learned was that Black people are about 20% more likely to experience health problems. And also, Black people are about 20% more likely to experience health problems than others. And then they're also likely to have lower rates of mental health services available to them. Make that make sense. So they're 20% more likely to have, or we, not they, I'm a Black person. We are 20% more likely to experience like breakdowns in our mental health, but then we're also on the lower end of the spectrum to actually receive the care that we deserve. And I know that we know that, but I just wanted to highlight that as well. There's so much going on in these systems and things like that. I guess, honestly, it's not surprising when you think about it, because we have these high rates, for example, of just all these things beyond mental health. It's like, for example, just not having access to resources, lower income. You have lower income. Well, damn it, it's obviously going to be harder to get access to the things that you need, not only just like mental health resources, but also because holistically, it's all connected. But if you have less money in your pocket, right? Or, for example, you have less money because you're paying for more just to survive, it makes sense that you wouldn't be able to necessarily always go to a therapist or have access to the food that you need that is going to help you, not necessarily cure your depression, obviously, because it probably is going to be a mix of things that you're going to need access to. But we all, let's not play games and sugarcoat it and not believe that the food that we're eating has an effect on, for example, the hormones in our bodies, right? If we're not able to eat well, if we're not able to eat healthy meals on a consistent basis, what do you think that's going to do for your body, which is connected and tied to your mental health, tied to your brain, tied to you, tied to your spirit? Like, it's all connected. So obviously, the less money, the less resources, right? But yeah, it's like, we're 20% more likely to have these breakdowns in our mental health. I don't even have time to go into the whole thing because I don't have my timer, so I'm not even sure how long this episode's gonna be. But yeah, that stat was, it was overwhelming to see and confirm. Both of those stats, actually, it was a little overwhelming to see and to confirm. Let's talk about some, I guess, harmful myths and misconceptions of mental health and depression in Black women. I have a few things I guess I want to kind of like highlight or just talk about quickly. So the first one right off the bat, I bet you probably already know what I'm going to say, right? I bet you already know. What is the first thing that I'm going to say about the myths of Black women and mental health? If you said that Black women are strong and don't really get depressed, I would love to send you a check for $1,000 or $1 million. And if I did that, I probably would be out millions and millions of dollars, because yes, we know that that is a misconception or a myth that Black, like the strong Black woman, we're superheroes, we can do it all, we can take care of it all, we don't break, we don't bend, we don't fold, we don't get down, we're always happy. Like any obstacles that we get hit with or any barriers, we just overcome them. Damn it, we're just these capable beings that can always just get it done, and we do it with this stoic, you know, just superhero woman persona, And that is complete BS, okay? I don't know if any people besides Black women listen to this podcast, but if you do, if you are an other in this space, knock it off, okay? Just stop, seriously, just stop, because that is complete shenanigans and foolery, and another word that starts with an F and ends with a Y that I'm not gonna say. It's just too much. And if you're believing these things, you are a part of the problem, okay? You are not helping us at all. If you are holding on to this misconception or this belief that Black women are just not susceptible to human emotions, feelings, problems, concerns, whatever. Like if we've always got to be strong for you, if we've always got to be strong at work, if we've always got to be strong in the family, we've always got to solve all the problems and do all these things, that's the problem. It's a problem, and it's the problem, because it's not based in reality. You are creating this, and I'm thinking, like, make it make sense, because on one hand we're torn down, but on the other hand we are seen as this the example of whatever strength, and always have to be strong. It's like, make it make sense. I don't know, but regardless, that is a myth. It is a misconception. It is not true. Okay. The second thing that I would say is that depression looks and sounds the same for all Black women. I think I mentioned that before. That is also not true. There is no way that could possibly ever be true, because I'm different from you. You're different from me. You're different from the person to your left. You're different from the person to your right. You've gone through different things. You've experienced different things. You've had different highs, different lows, different backgrounds, experiences, financial situations, family situations, trauma, no trauma. Like, there's so many variations to life. There's no, even if I had a twin and we looked exactly alike, dressed alike, ate alike, sounded alike, looked alike, like, had the exact same experiences in life, like down to the T, we would still, like, if we were depressed, like, our depression would not be the same. It would not be the same, period. So we need to be okay with allowing room and space for people to, present, if that's the right word, present, even yourself, like, present how you present with your depression. It's okay for it to be different, to look different, to feel different, to be a different length of time, to require different types of care. It, like, this is not a cut and dry situation here. It's not a black and white situation here. And that can be hard for some of us who live in the black and white. Like, I lived just like I'm wearing a black shirt, because I'm always wearing black. I just am. Some of us lived in this black and white space. There was no in between. There was no grace for in between. There was no space for in between. It was just this what it is, period. And if it's not this, it's wrong, it's bad, it's whatever, like all these harmful labels and things like that. But depression does not look the same for everybody. And that's another important reason for me to say that is because sometimes people are hella depressed and you will never know, especially Black women. A lot of us are depressed and you would never, ever know, because we can still kiki, we can still get stuff done a lot of times, we can still show up, we can still support, we can still do these quote unquote amazing things, and everything is great until it all just breaks the hell down, because it will break down one way or another. Everything is like rosy until it breaks down. Everyone's like, I had no idea, until that Black woman experiences that breakdown. Okay. Again, depression does not look the same for every person, period. Okay, so that's the second thing I wanted to say. A second or third thing I wanted to say. Oh, that was the second thing. This is why I have to have notes, because I'll be like all over the place and then think I have said what I wanted to say, and then I'll hit stop on the recorder and I'm like, doggone it, I forgot to say XYZ. So notes, I have to have them because I have a lot to say, as you can tell. Another like misconception about depression and Black women is, and this one was interesting too. I did some research obviously on this before I came, because I wanted to just highlight a few things that I may not have touched upon in previous episodes, okay? So this was very interesting. And I got this from a study done by Gilling School. And what they found is that having more money or having more social support or having a higher education does not mean that you are less prone to depression. I'll say that again. Having more money, having more education or a higher education, or having like a bigger village or more support or whatever support means or looks like for you, does not mean that you are less prone to depression. And in fact, if I'm not mistaken, I didn't write this down, I feel like the study said that in fact, if you have these things, you are 37% more inclined to have experienced depression. Don't quote me on that statistic, but I'm like 75 to 80% sure that's what it said. I'm almost positive that that's what it said. But again, so in other words, depression, it doesn't like discriminate, okay? Depression does not discriminate. And if you're someone, again, who's living in that Black and white space, again, you yourself experiencing depression and not wanting to call it what it is, or someone that you know is experiencing depression, but again, you're just like living in that Black and white, like, that's not depression because you have all these things, boo. You have money, you have a great job, you have the family, you have the career, you're hot, you have 2 degrees, you have a PhD, you have 8 brothers and sisters, and everybody loves you, and you have this great support system. I hate to tell you this, but again, having those things does not mean that you are not inclined, like you will never be open, or that you'll never have depression, okay? Because depression, like I said before, it does not discriminate. It does not discriminate. It's not based on what you have and what you don't have. Now, the great thing, obviously, about having money, of course, is money is a great and valuable resource to have in this world, in this society. So obviously that is a plus, because God bless you if you have privilege or you have that money or that support system. You can, I'm assuming, advocate better for yourself versus someone that doesn't have that, or maybe they aren't as educated as you, so they don't know the ins and outs, for example, of the system or the healthcare industry, or even how to like make appointments or book appointments online. Like if their education, it may be lacking. Maybe they can't read and they don't know how to sign up for free resources or just different things like that, right?
Black representation in media matters. When we see people that look like us or share our experiences, it provides a sense of community, validation, and belonging while also resisting the narrative that we must remain silent and invisible. The next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR, where you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, and empowerment. One episode that I really enjoyed was titled, In Serena Williams, A Generation of Black Players Saw a Legend Who Looked Like Me. The way they wove the episode together with interviews, storytelling, and music kept my interest because it felt more like a documentary than a typical news piece. This is what it feels like to me to have our stories centered. Turn on NPR today and hear a range of voices as varied, nuanced, and Black as the country we reflect. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get podcasts.
My hair is kinky, it's coily, it's beautiful, it's all the things, but the dryness is real, so it's also prone to feeling parched. This is why Way's Anti-Frizz Cream is my new BFF. It not only tames frizz, but helps my hair feel more hydrated. Listen, summer is coming. We are trying to be outside, going to brunch, plus traveling, and summer activities aren't always kind to our strands, okay? So let me tell you what I do for this. I wash my hair every 1 to 2 weeks. Don't sleep on Waze Detox Shampoo, by the way, if you have hard water or buildup. I detangle, I smooth in a little of the Way anti-frizz cream, then shingle in my natural gel. My hair is frizz-free, it's hydrated, and it's cute for days. Love sleek styles? Waze anti-frizz cream works as a heat protectant up to 450 degrees as well. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code SELFCARE for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com, promo code SELFCARE.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
So obviously there's some privilege, great privileges. Let's not pretend. There are great privileges to having access. There are great privileges to having access. And we all have different levels of access, obviously, right? But if you've got the money, honey, and you've got the different support levels and education, obviously that's privilege. Those are great benefits. But having those things does not mean that you cannot be depressed. Having those things does not mean your friend down the street cannot be depressed. Again, stoic Black woman, superwoman, we have this visual in mind for how Black women need to be. And then we see that and we are not able to look past that a lot of times because she looks like she has it all together. I mean, she's got it going on. She's got the nice car, the nice house, the red bottoms. Y'all still wear red bottoms? I ain't never had red bottoms in my life. So I don't know nothing about that, but I don't know if that's still a thing or not. I'm assuming that it is, but your girl don't know. So let us sister know. But it's like we think this Black woman has it all together. She's very, her look is pulled together. She's always smiling. The nails are always done. The car is, sorry. Didn't expect that call. The car is brand new, or like whatever these measurements of success are. We look at that and we just think that she's just, that's it. She's got it. She's got it all together. What we see on the outside is not always a representation of what we are feeling on the inside. Some of us have curated our lives so much because we want to give this air of we have it together because we're afraid of or ashamed of what's going on in here. Or we're scared to talk about it. We're scared to reveal what's our inner world, right? For a variety of reasons. So we perfectly curate some things so that we appear like we have it all together. Oh, that breaks my heart because that's something that I did at one time. And I feel like sometimes, real talk, I feel like sometimes I do still do that. I can't say necessarily that I'm depressed. I don't think that I am, but I feel like sometimes, and maybe this is a separate conversation, but I am not a stranger to making it look like I have, not necessarily that I have it going on, but like I'm just pulled together and very, what's the word I'm looking for here? I can't think of the word, but just, again, just, like, in other words, the representative checks in. I've talked about the representative before, but the representative checks in, and that's what you get. Because I, in my mind, I want to present myself a certain way so that not only do people, I don't want people to think ill of me, but also I'm trying to like mask or hide really how I feel about myself. Like my self-worth or my value or the fact that I've gone through so many things and I just want to curate my how I look so that people will have this notion of me and think good things about me. Does that make sense? Again, that's probably another podcast episode, but I just want to let you know that I'm not a stranger to that. Okay. And there's no shame in that. we have these kind of conversations because I want you to know that you're not alone in this, okay? But yeah, having more money, having it all together, having higher education, 15 degrees, shout out to you, by the way, if that's you, or just those kind of things does not mean that you are less prone to depression. We are still susceptible, okay? I think that was the third thing. I think I have maybe one or two more. Now, this typically still occurs in our community, usually with older people, and probably men as well. And I'm not saying all older people, and I'm not saying all men. I'm just saying, generally speaking, just so you get my gist. But Black people, like our community, we still view depression as a sign of weakness. We still view depression as a sign of weakness. The whole Black people don't do therapy, Black people don't need therapy, Black people don't need medication, Black people don't need these things. They just need to stop being so weak, stop being so lazy, stop being so whatever other words might mean, weak, right? You're not weak if you're experiencing depression. And for those of us that have somehow found the courage to raise your hand and say, I need help, do you know how brave that makes you? Because it's scary to open yourself up and to be vulnerable that way, especially in light of some of the things I just talked about in the previous myths and misconceptions. I can barely talk today because I'm recording this episode out. I'm in my eating window right now. I'm doing intermittent fasting, podcast episode for another time. And I was supposed to start eating like 45 minutes ago, and I haven't started yet. So after I record this, I will be sure to get my eating window started. But yeah, I want to do a podcast episode on intermittent fasting. But back to what I'm talking about. But yeah, we just look at depression, generally speaking, again, as just a sign of weakness. Okay. And I guess to hinge on that, my last thing that I was going to say about that is that, that myth or misconception that Black women shouldn't feel depressed, because look at what our ancestors did. Look at what our ancestors went through and they survived. So you need to man up or woman up, I guess. You need to buck up because our ancestors were strong. And you are being weak if you can't handle something as simple, I'm doing air quotes, as depression. There's something wrong with you if you are depressed. There's something wrong with you if you can't handle life when our ancestors did so much to get you here, when our ancestors did survive so much and endured so much, things that are much, 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 much worse than you would ever, you know, ever endure in your life. And so because of that, you are weak. Okay, you need to get your life together. Like, this is what some of us are still hearing in the community, that we are weak, and like an embarrassment to our ancestors, because we feel like we're depressed and feeling those emotions that of depression, like that means you're, that translates to you being weak, or like an embarrassment to the ancestors, or you know, that kind of thing. And again, that's still a view that some older people in our community have. And I get it. The times are different now. And I say these things not in a pointing fingers or anyone's bad if they do these, like, it's not about that. It's just, again, about just having, like, normalizing these types of conversations. Okay. But yeah, I get why they may feel that way. Again, the times were different. Having these open conversations about mental health, that was not like a thing, okay? Just X amount of years ago. Like, it wasn't like this bigger movement, if you will. Mental health has always been a thing. Obviously, we need mental health. But what I'm saying is just having support spaces, talking about going to therapy openly, talking about taking meds or whatever, or being on a type of healing modality or whatever, like, that wasn't like a big thing back in the day. That wasn't the types of conversations like our elders were having back in the day. That's just facts. That was just facts. That's just what it was. So, in case I need to say this, no, it does not make you weak. And something else, I guess, that would make sense to say is being weak. There needs to be space for us to be weak. Okay, for example, let's just say like it means you're weak. Let's go with that. As a human being, by the way, we need more balance, if that makes sense. We can't always be strong. We can't always be happy. Like there needs to, we need to make space for balance. So I guess when I'm thinking this through, I'm processing right now, saying like that doesn't make you weak. But now I'm kind of like rethinking that as far as like what we think of weakness. Because when we say that someone is weak, it's a quote unquote, it's like a bad thing. But it's okay to be weak. It's okay not to always be strong. It's okay to cry. It's okay to have negative emotions and negative feelings. Are you following what I'm trying to say here? Like we look at being weak or having a moment as being bad, but it's like we were made with different types of emotions for a reason. If we weren't meant to feel weak at times, then we just wouldn't. You know what I'm trying to like? We wouldn't even have a word for it if we weren't meant to experience that. Does that make sense? Like, I just feel like, generally speaking, there needs to be more space made for us to just feel our feelings, to explore, different emotions and things like that. But hopefully, you're understanding what I'm saying, that it doesn't, being depressed doesn't make you quote unquote weak, but I'm also saying that it's okay to be weak. I'm trying to wrap my head around that. So maybe that's something I'll touch upon at another time because I don't want to make this episode too much longer. But again, I hope that you're following. I hope you hear my heart with what I'm saying. I hope you're able to follow what I'm saying. So I guess a few ways that we can kind of address that or these misconceptions of mental health and Black women and or the Black community. One thing that I would say is to be mindful of what you're saying to other people. Like be mindful of what you're saying to other people. And I got that from specifically from mcleanhospital.com, just like being mindful of like the language. Like one thing that I try not to say is like calling someone crazy. Like raise your hand if you've ever been called crazy in your life. I definitely have been, but not necessarily for like a mental health thing. This was like in a relationship kind of thing. But still, regardless, like just being aware of how you're approaching the subject with people and just being very respectful and sensitive of like if they have, for example, certain boundaries in the conversation that they don't want to bump up against, just being respectful of that, just being mindful of like again the words and the language that we're using, if we're talking to, for example, friends in our circle that are being open and sharing vulnerable things with us, just being mindful and respectful of what we're saying and the words that we're using. So that's definitely one thing. Another thing that I will say, obviously, that I've said maybe at least once before is just like normalizing having these conversations. I cannot tell you how many Black women I've spoken to, and they are like, I don't have anyone I can really share this with. I'm afraid to share this with people. There's not really space for me to do that. But it's like we really have to, as a community slash community care, make room for more conversations like this, or normalizing talking about mental health. The good, the bad, the ugly, however you want to put it, right? But just normalizing having these conversations. The more we can normalize having these conversations, the less stigma, I guess, or we'll be able to break through some of the barriers. We can't necessarily break through all of them because I feel like for that to happen, there would be so much work outside of ourselves that would need to happen. So I guess I'm really just talking about things that we can kind of control within like our circles and community and things like that. But yeah, just being able to normalize it, it goes a long way to be able to show up and have these types of conversations in our families, in our circles, you know, things like that. So that's something else I would say, like just being open to just having more conversations like this. What's another one? This one's, you know, this one hits me a little bit because I was talking about like the black and white. My upbringing was very, very black and white. Like, this is right, this is wrong. You do this, you don't do that, period. There was no in between, okay? But something that I would say that can help us in our community is just like not judging people for, again, not only like the, like their experiences with depression, but also how they choose to heal, how they choose to show up. There's so many different types of modalities for healing, from journaling to therapy, to massage, to medicines and prescriptions, to thinking of other things, going to meetings or different things like that. There's different modalities for healing, but we have to get to a place where we're not judging people for doing something that, or for them even thinking about trying something. For example, there's this big thing, I don't know how big it is, but there's this thing in regards to healing and like taking shrooms, or psychedelics. It's something that I looked into. Also, one of the women in my personal intimate circle, I don't know if she has tried it yet. I don't think so, but we've definitely talked about it. And old Bree, okay, old Bree would have been like, oh my God, what? You know what I mean? But that's not this Bree that is talking to you. That's not this Bree that's, you know, having this conversation with you. But yeah, just not judging people for how they choose to deal with depression and how they want to approach the healing process. And also you too. Sometimes we really just hold ourselves in, again, with this black and white thinking and saying, you know, I can't do that. I can't look into that. This is bad. It's okay to research, look at the numbers, read testimonies, really dig in there and find out all the information that you can, and then make the decision. Don't just decide because you've been taught that Black people don't do therapy, Black people don't need healing, Black people don't need medicine. And that leads into my next thing. I was gonna say, just pray it away. The last one that I'll say is just like, don't leave your friend with that platitude of pray to God about it and just leave it at that. I am a follower of Christ. I do believe that prayer helps. I do believe that being in relationship with God helps. However, you can pray and do other things. Okay? I'm sure that God created many these resources for us to do and to try and to explore. Again, I do believe that prayer helps. I personally believe that prayer changes things, but I also believe that prayer should? I don't know, but I'm gonna say it. Prayer can and should be a part of a bigger therapeutic experience, because I don't know, but I feel like a lot of us, or when I say us, members of the Black community did the just pray and forget about it thing. And I feel like a lot of us, unfortunately, met an early demise because all they did was pray. That's like, or for example, let's take depression off the table for a second. How about if someone approached you and they said they had diabetes. They had diabetes and you told them to just pray about it versus you telling them definitely pray about it and look at the food you're eating. Pray about it and go and talk to a professional. Pray about it and drink more water. Pray about it and get your blood drawn. Get some blood work done. Pray about it and consider, you know, making some changes in your exercise routine. Like, for example, if you've been pretty sedentary, maybe start walking one or two times a week for 15 minutes and then see if you can build it up over the next few months or whatever. Like, you understand what I'm saying? Like, just telling somebody to pray, I don't know. That, I don't want to say that's disrespectful, but I can tell you that that's what old Bree probably would offer and leave it there. And I don't think that's very helpful. And as much as I want everybody to believe in God, I know that that's not the reality. So me just telling someone to pray and leaving it there, I am doing that person a disservice. I'm not intending to, it's not intentional. It's just that I was taught, or like a lot of us that have grown up in the Black church, we're taught like prayer fixes everything. And I'm not saying that it doesn't, but I do feel like God gave us common sense for a reason. I've read so many articles of parents, basically their children have passed away because they would just pray and not get them the health medical attention that they would need. And that to me is just like very extreme. So yeah, I'm still gonna say, you know, if you have a relationship with God, definitely, you know, continue staying in prayer, continue staying in relationship with God. That I am gonna say that because I'm that friend, but I'm also gonna say some other things like I mentioned at the beginning or like in this episode. Because again, I feel like it's more than prayer that is necessary. I feel like prayer is definitely, not that God can't do miracles or not that miracles don't happen every day. I'm not saying that, but I feel like prayer is like a long-term, just being in a relationship, like that's like a long-term thing. And I have had some amazing things happen because I was in, or I'm assuming because I was in prayer and or just in relationship with God. But there's more to it than that, if that makes sense. My church folk, don't come for me. Do not come for me. Yeah, did I have any more on that one? We talked about like shaming and if someone wants to explore different modalities and not like shaming and or shaming yourself, right? So we talked about that. Yeah, and that to me also is like a big self-care tip, right? I have to throw in a little bit of self-care in there. It's just like, be open to exploring new modalities. For me, for the longest time, I like did not do yoga. I'm not telling you to do yoga. That's not the point of this episode. But for the longest time, like I did not do yoga. But when I thought about it, yoga being just about, or not just, because I know that there are some spiritual things with yoga too, okay? But I'm talking about from the body standpoint, doing stretches and things like that, that means that I would never stretch my body because pretty much every stretch you can think of in some capacity is a yoga pose. So how are we supposed to take care of our bodies again? I'm not saying that yoga is the only thing, but I'm just saying like, make it make sense. But so I had to come to that realization for myself. Your mileage and your walk may vary, okay? I'm not telling you to do what I do. I'm just letting you know kind of like a bit of the process for me, if that makes sense. But it's like, don't be afraid to research. Don't be afraid to explore. Don't be afraid to read up on and ask questions and just get curious about maybe some things that you've heard and then decide like, nah, that's not for me. That's not for me. Or you know what? I'm gonna give this a try for 30 days, for example, like yoga, for example, and see how I feel, how my body feels, how my mental health feels. You know what I'm saying? So self-care tip for you right there. I think I pretty much covered everything that I wanted to cover, but I do want to also, before we wrap up, give you just a few resources that you may want to explore or look at that may kind of come through in the clutch or help you to find community or find a therapist or maybe find a new modality or information on a new a healing modality. Okay, so I have 4 or 5 different resources for you in no particular order. So the first one that I would mention is the Black Health Matters podcast. I'll say it again, Black Health Matters podcast. I believe that's a good resource. The next one that I would say is BEAM.community. That's BEAM.community. And that stands for Black Emotional and Mental Health Collective. Again, Black Emotional and Mental Health Collective, BEAM.community. So there you're gonna find like trainings and events and resources and community and even some grants. Okay, we talked about money before and access, right? Might be able to find some grants there that can help you as well. Another one that I found and like is Ourselves Black. I think it's ourselvesblack.com. They have an online magazine of different like personal stories that may be of interest to you so that you don't feel, again, like it's just you out there floating, right? Black Therapists Rock. Black Therapists Rock, again, programs, resources, trainings, therapists, things like that. And then Therapy for Queer People of Color. Therapy for Queer People of Color. And obviously it's in the name. You're gonna find a therapist if that's what you need access to, okay? You want someone that can understand you as a person, right? So again, Therapy for Queer People of Color. So I'll say those one more time. Black Health Matters, it's a podcast. BEAM, B-E-A-M dot community, Ourselves Black, Black Therapists Rock, and Therapy for Queer People of Color. So I'm pretty sure that I have hit all the points that I wanted to hit. Y'all know me, I love a good deep dive into stuff. But yeah, I just wanted to talk about that. And so I'm very glad that I did. And I'm very glad that I was able to record this. At first I was not going to, because if you see this on YouTube, I'm literally wearing no makeup. I have not brushed my hair since yesterday. This is just my truth. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. But I have not brushed my nails. My hands are probably pretty ashy because I did a lot of dishwashing today, or yesterday rather. And my skin is dry. Like I just came through how I came through. And that's the big deal for me, because like I mentioned before, I can at times want to appear very curated, or like things like I'm just everything together, and that is just not the case. As I adjust my necklace so that is perfectly centered. But yeah, I just want to be able to get comfortable and to just show up however I want to show up. So like I mentioned on the previous, or one of the previous episodes, like if I want to show up like this, just all natural, I will show up like this and my message will still be valid. If I want to show up with a little bit of a lash and a bold red lip and my nails done, I will show up with the lash, the lip, and the nails done, and my message will still be valid. Like I am really doing the work to just remember my worth and to build up my confidence with the understanding that I don't have to fit like this cookie cutter mold to be valuable or to be valid or to matter. Okay, so that's the internal work that I have been doing and that I continuously must do. That's a part of my healing work. That's a part of my healing journey. So just wanted to say that because I just felt like it needed to be said. So that is it for the episode. Oh, by the way, If you haven't had a chance to do so, I want to remind you that my first ever publishing, I'm very proud of myself, 50 Journal Prompts for Black Women Who Are Radically Blooming Through Healing and Self-Care is available on Amazon. If you look up my name, Bree Mitchell, you'll find the book. And I can show you like a preview here on YouTube. Shout out to those of you who end up watching it here, but it's 50 journal prompts. There's some quotes in here as well. And also sprinkled in there, oh, that's the back of the journal. Sprinkled in there, which of course, there's one. Hold on. Sprinkled in there, you will find a few quotes like this one that talks about peace, because it's 10 sections. Each section tackles different things or gives you journal prompts on different things, from peace to confidence to letting go. And then also in there, you'll find a few coloring pages that I was able to create. Not personally, but there's going to be a few coloring pages in there as well. So again, that's 50 journal prompts for Black women who are radically blooming through healing and self-care. You can pick that up on Amazon.com. Pick one up for yourself, pick one up for you and your sister circle and work through it. Pick it up for your coworker that you know could really use a little bit of TLC. Give it away for birthday gifts to the Black women in your life. You do you. I'm just telling you some suggestions, but you do you. I just want to make sure, because I don't really mention it. My friend was like, why are you not talking about your book? So I have to do better at that. I'm getting better, y'all. I really, really am. So I hope that you like this episode. If you're listening on Spotify, make sure you go to Spotify and leave a comment letting me know what you thought about this week's episode. If you're listening on Apple, then make sure you leave a 5-star rating and review. And if you're watching this on YouTube, leave your comments down below and let me know what your questions are or what your experience has been when it comes to just like your mental health journey, period, or in relation to depression. Okay. That's it for this week's episode of the Brown Girl Self-Care Podcast. Thank you so much for your support. I cannot wait to be in conversation with you next Monday. But in the meantime, have a blessed week and take care.